God, in the name of Jesus, we come before you with humble hearts, grateful hearts, dear Lord God, for this opportunity to hear from heaven. These amazing people did not come to hear from me. They came to hear from you, dear Lord God. So I thank you, Father God, according to Isaiah 50, for giving me the tongue of the learned, that I may speak a word in season to them that are weary, that my teaching and preaching is not with enticing words of men's wisdom, but it is in demonstration and manifestation of your spirit and of power. Father, I promise to give you alone all the praise, you alone all the glory. In Jesus' name, if you agree with that, say
amen.
Amen. Amen. I'm so excited today. I'm excited next Sunday, too. Elder Kelvin will be up here next Sunday. Amen. Amen. Bless God. Bless God. Tell all your family and friends, get them here, get them here, get them here. And you guys get a chance this week, go online, go to YouTube, Google New Day Corona. The Bible study should pop up, and please avail yourselves of it. A little 10-minute nugget, and I purposely to do that just so we can give you something to chew on and meditate on and throughout the week. Amen. So you can get before you leave work. I mean, before you leave home for work, when you get to work, lunch break. It's even designed 10 minutes, so even if you got a 15-minute break, hey. Okay. Amen. Amen. So today we're going to go to part two of our series for this month, Deeper. Say deeper.
Deeper.
Now, today our scriptural text is 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9 and 10. We're reading from the New King James Version. 1 Corinthians, this is a letter that Paul, the great apostle, wrote to the church in Corinth. I like to pretend he's writing it to the church in Corona. Amen. Make it alive. So here we go. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Love is agape. It's a verb form, those who love him, so agapeo, but it means to be completely, totally, wholly given over to God. It's going to be important in a moment, okay? But verse 10, but God has revealed them to us through his Spirit, Holy Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, here we go, the deep things of God. So on your handout, if there are deep things of God, then there also must be shallow things. I need you to understand that. There must be shallow things. Now, the assumption for most of us is that when I'm in the deep things of God, based on what? Now, no condemnation here. I just really want you to look within for a minute. Based on what? Because you've been in church a long time? Or you move in a prophetic? Oh, God gave me a word, and I spoke to this guy, and it was so spot on. Well, he spoke to a donkey also once. So sometimes we think because God moves by spirit that, you know, it's our maturity. No. Read 1 Corinthians 12, talks about as the Spirit wills. Nothing to do with you. Nothing to do with you. In fact, on your handout, the church of Corinth, now here's what's funny, they moved mightily in the gifts of the Spirit, but Paul said they were spiritually immature and needed milk and not meat. They eat just because the gifts are manifesting, you prophesying and laying hands, a word of wisdom, word of knowledge, is not an indication of spiritual maturity. Because I've seen some people that speak in tongues also curse somebody up. Cat Williams, Kevin Hart can't hold a candle to you in your mouth. Oh, y'all don't know who Cat Williams and Kevin Hart? Okay, cool. That's good. Hallelujah. Bless God. Now, y'all still meditating on it, huh? Yeah. Yeah, because then you probably question your spiritual maturity if you get entertained by Cat Williams and Kevin Hart, huh? I'll let that settle in for a bit. If you really want to know how mature you are, look at the fruit of the Spirit. Temperance. Can you control yourself? I'm going to give them peace of my mind. They don't, they better. You. And you're mature, right? Okay, sure. Sure. Turn your hand out over, please. Going deeper means there's a letting go and a leaving behind. Now, last week we talked about moving from the shallow to the deep with Peter. And that's in Luke 5. I just want to recap real quick. Peter had a divine destiny. He did. Now, if you think about it, one morning he's fishing. Late one night, he's fishing. Nothing happens. Rolls to the shore. He and his guys, his partners, they have nothing. Nothing to take to the market. Nothing to, what are you going to tell your wife when she gets home? I've been out there all night fishing. I don't have anything. Really, you've been fishing? You caught nothing? Nothing. Where you been, man? You think about what he probably had to face. So there he is, and here comes Jesus. And Jesus says, let me borrow your boat because I want to teach the crowd. So Jesus gets in a boat, sits there, and he teaches the crowd from the boat. When he finishes teaching, he tells Peter, who's washing his nets, putting them all back together, he says, launch out into the deep. Now, it's the wrong time of day for fishing, because now it's daytime. Fish are caught at night. The other thing is that they was tired. He said, we toil. I've worked hard all night. Now he has to convince his guys to get back in the boat. And then Jesus says, go in the deep. Go in the deep. Everything is odd about this situation, but he obeys. And you know, he goes out in the deep. He catches more fish than ever. So many fish, his boat begins to sink. He has to call James and John to come and help him. You think of the significance of that. Now, here's where the transition happened. Because after he caught the fish and James and John, he looks at Jesus. And previously, he said, Master, teacher, you know, I've been working all night. But then after he caught all the fish, he said, Lord. See, that was a shift. There was a recognition. And he's moving from the shallow to the deep because now his perspective of Jesus has shifted. And see, for a lot of us, we really believe that we know Jesus. Now, I don't know you. Look, just listen to me, okay? Nobody, please, take anything condemning. So the thing is this. Peter had been in the synagogue. Peter had, he was aware of the Jewish religion. I mean, he was a Jew. And so he watched Jesus do some miracles. He watched the guys, remember the guys with they had the paralytic, they bought the four. The four of them brought the paralyzed dude to Jesus, tore open Peter's roof, put him down there. Peter's seeing all this. Peter's mother-in-law gets healed. He sees all of this, but Jesus is still teacher. And a lot of us, we've seen some things, and it's been amazing, and we've had some things happen, but he's still just our teacher. The next thing is he has to become our Lord. So something had to happen for Peter to recognize that he's Lord. And Lord means owner, like I'm submitted to you. Most of us, we ain't going to submit to anybody. Ain't nobody going to tell me nothing. Not nothing, nothing. N-U-T-H-I-N, nothing. Now, how you do anything is how you do everything. It's going to show up in other areas of your life. Now, so he bows down and says, you know, Lord, get away from me, for I'm a sinful man. And it's so funny, it took catching a fish. Now, I've wondered about that for years. So last week, I'm still meditating on it, and it hits me. Everything Peter saw prior to that was for somebody else. This is the first time he experienced something. And so sometimes we have very low self-awareness about why we... Mike, can you give me some water, please? We have very low... forgive me, guys. Yeah, we have very low just self-awareness. We don't really know. We really don't know. And now, so what we do in order to kind of feel and see where we are, we compare ourselves with other people. Which is not good because other people, maybe their stuff is not together. And for see, the thing about living in Corona and in the Inland Empire, most of you are doing better financially and economically, and your kids are getting better grades than the people in South Central. So you feel you've arrived. But have you? Because here's Peter. Now, here's the thing about Peter. Think for a minute. Fishing one morning. Next thing you know, he's following Jesus, about to go on the road. Now, a little later on, guess what? Peter finds himself walking on the Sea of Galilee, the very sea that he caught some fish before. He's walking on it. Now, back that morning when he was catching, trying to upset and bothered because he hadn't caught anything, he had no idea that in the future he's going to be walking on that same water. Think about it. Jesus sends him out two by two to cast out demons and heal the sick. He had no idea that he was going to be doing that. Think about it for a moment. And then one day, oh, thank you, sir. And then if you guys forgive me for a second, just 1 second. Need a drink of some water. That's all. So here's Peter. Then all of a sudden, one day, Jesus said, Peter, James, John, you guys come on, roll with me for a minute. The rest of you stay down here. Goes up on a mountain, and he transfigures in front of him. Now, this Moses that you know, Peter was reading about in the Torah, guess what? Now he sees him. He sees Elijah. You snooze, you lose, dude. You're too late. Thank you. Now, Elder Kelvin took care of me. Thank you. I appreciate it. Give Tim a hand. He did get up to give me some. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm teasing. Amen. So now all of a sudden he's transfigured. Now think about it. He sees all of this supernatural stuff. He's so tongue-tied. Blah, 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 blah. What should we do? Let's build a booth for everybody. He doesn't know what to say. He's seeing some things. But see, he had to let go and leave behind that boat and those nets. And there's some things where you ain't willing to let go or leave behind. And God want to take you up on a mountain and show him yourself. Show you himself. Nah, I'm going to fish. I'm going to stay right where it's comfortable. 2006, I went on staff at Zoe Christian Fellowship and had a trip to South Africa. Already planned. I'd never been to South Africa. Didn't really think it was worthy of going, tell you the truth. Elder, I didn't think so. South Africa is industrialized and Britain has gone in there and built it all up. It's like, what's the point? I need to go where Christ hasn't been named. That's what Paul said. Well, we go to South Africa, and this October will be my 20th time. We have churches now in South Africa. We did a conference, me and Elder Abraham and Elder Joyce, and we had 300 leaders handpicked that came from all over Southern Africa to be a part of that. And I was just wanting just to sit right here and, Jesus, what do you need to let go of and leave behind? Amen. And maybe it's your thinking. Maybe it's your thinking. Because what did Peter say? We toiled all night. But I've gone out. And if you read it in original Greek, Jesus told, take your nets. He took a net. He still went out half-hearted. Yeah. But let's talk about somebody else today. Let's talk about the woman at the well. Turn, please, to John chapter 4, verse 1. Now, here's the thing. We're talking about self-awareness. You got to recognize you, and that's the problem. You don't know you, so you can't manage you. One of the things we're doing, we got a class coming up, a workshop, and I've asked Kathy Knox to facilitate it, and it does cost money. You spend money on shoes and food and all that. You need to spend money on yourself in a workshop. You need to grow your brain. I just look good. Y'all look good. Y'all some good-looking people. You got your handbags, got your cars up there, nice rims. But y'all work on the outside. I'm going to work on the inside. Okay, and so one of the things that's lacking is that you really don't understand you. You've lived with yourself so long, and it's cool. You can maneuver. I said it before. Last night, many of you had to get up and go to the restroom at 3 a.m. I guarantee you didn't turn on the lights. So you can live in the dark. You can maneuver in the dark, and that's what a lot of us are doing right now emotionally. And you're not managing it well. So here I am just trying to help. So sign up for the class, please. Hallelujah. So here we have this lady at the well. In John chapter 4, and let's pick it up, verse 1. Jesus knew the Pharisees had heard that he was baptizing and making more disciples than John. Now, the Pharisees were the religious leaders. They were always stirring up stuff, okay? Verse 2, though Jesus himself didn't baptize them, his disciples did. But if you come to Israel, I will be baptizing in the Jordan River, so you guys will want to be baptized. Hallelujah, okay? So, verse 3. So he left Judea and returned to Galilee. Remember that. You guys went to Israel, okay? Judea, he was down in the south, now in the Jordan. Now he's going back up north to Galilee, okay? Now on the way in between is Samaria, okay? Verse 4, he had to go through Samaria on the way. 5, eventually he came to the Samaritan village of Sychar near the field that Jacob gave his son Joseph. Remember Jacob? Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, okay? Jacob, and then Jacob had his 12 sons. Cool? So 6, Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired from a long walk, sat wearily beside the well about noontime. So verse 7, soon a Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, please give me a drink. And I need you to listen, because I know most of you know this story, but I need you to have ears to hear right now, okay? Please hear me. Verse 7, soon a Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, please give me a drink. 8, he was alone at the time because the disciples had gone into the village to buy some food. Buying food, that means he had money. Jesus was poor. He had enough money to buy food. Now, here's the thing. Before we go to verse 9, the first step to going deeper, you got to shift in your thinking. Now, watch this. Verse 9, the woman was surprised, for Jews refused to have anything to do with Samaritans. She said to Jesus, you are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. Why are you asking me for a drink? Now, here we go, because she's used to being ostracized. The Samaritans were looked down upon, okay, they're a little less than. Verse 10, Jesus replied, if you only knew. I'm going to stop right there. What is Jesus saying to you right now? If you only knew. Meaning she didn't know. We were coming to church this morning and Jackie said, I'm so proud of you. I said, wow. She says, how many times have you done this? I said, done what? She said, Sunday mornings. I said, we're about to be 10 years old, 52 Sundays, 520. So we laughed. But even at 520 times, it's not quite that yet. You know, got all y'all preaching half the time. But if you count everywhere else I've gone, it's probably 700, 800 times. And even maybe 1,000. But here's my point. Here's my point. And if you count how many times I taught at school, Daniel, it's a lot. But here's my point. I still ask, what is it I don't know? What hasn't my eyes seen? What haven't my ears heard? What is what do you have? What else is there? I have not arrived. Paul said, I press. I don't count myself as already apprehended. I'm pressing. But many times we get, oh, the Lord said, you're gonna, and then all of a sudden I'm the next T.D. Jakes. Yeah. And here's this woman here. And Jesus said, if you only knew. Now watch this. If you only knew the gift God has for you. Let's stop right there. What's the gift God has for you? See, for Peter thought, I'm just going to be a fisherman. And then after Jesus had died, rose and put him in charge and told him what to do and wait for the Holy Spirit, then Peter gets up and he preaches to 3,000 people. Now, 3 years prior, he's sitting there washing some nets. Think about it. Frustrated because he didn't catch no fish. Not knowing that 3 years later, Jesus is sitting there teaching, but I'm going to be here preaching. And 3,000 people came to Christ. If 3,000 came to Christ, how many was he preaching to? But see, if you're not faithful and obedient over here, you're not going to reach that. And this lady here, Jesus is saying, here's that. There's a gift God has for you, if you only knew. Now, we don't know because our mama's messed up. And hey, go to Life Group this week. If there was an ever week not to miss Life Group, it's this week. Go to Life Group, okay? It's going to be life-changing. If you are a mother, go to Life Group. If you have a mother, go to Life Group. Yeah, and it went over some people's heads. I'm telling you, okay? If you only knew the gift God has for you, watch this, and who you are speaking to. See, sometimes we don't even know Jesus. If you knew, you would ask me, and I would give you living water. Living water. Now, I'm not mad at her, but watch this. Watch this. Watch what she does, verse 11. But, sir, you don't have a rope or a bucket. She's not getting. She said, and this well is very deep. She's very practical. Where would you get this living water? I'm mad at her. She's just in the practical. Jesus is like, I'm trying to drop you some serious spiritual knowledge. Watch this, verse 12. And besides, wait, and she finishes. This is funny. And besides, do you think you're greater than our ancestor Jacob? She didn't know. Bless her. You think you're greater than our ancestor Jacob who gave us this well? Somebody hooked her up with a well, and all of a sudden she's like, you got to figure it out. Watch this, and I love this part. How can you offer better? Stop right there. How can you offer better? Now, our theme this year is what? Better. And the lady said, how can you offer better? See, some of you, I got this, I got that, I got this, and all good, and got my throwing, I'm good. And how can it get better? I go to church next Sunday. I'm good. I'm going to just rest in. I've been working hard all week. Yeah, I heard Pastor Tony before. He's always on emotional stuff anyway. Yeah, ain't too much difference in the last two series. Faith comes by. And. How can you offer better water than he and his sons and his animals enjoyed? You just see, she's stuck. No matter, a lot of us stuck. We got certain, our preferences, we got certain, if Pastor Todd don't do one good happy praise song and will somebody jump up and dance or somebody move and somebody ain't clapping, you feel like, well, the Spirit wasn't here. Lady called me one day, y'all don't know her. I never met her, but, you know, people say refer in and they end up talking to me and I got a situation in a whole other state and tells me they went to, I went to this one church, and I walked in and the Spirit was not there. The Spirit wasn't there at all. Now, here you are calling me with some issues, some problems. You're trying to figure out your life together. And I know the pastor that our friends in Phoenix. I know them. I know them well. I mean, I know them really well. And if there are some people with the Spirit of God, it's them. And you walk up in there saying, it's not here. Oh, bless you, child. And you're so certain. You never had a church, never started a church. But you're so certain. Bless you. And you look at this lady here. How can you offer better? Let's keep going. Next verse, please. 13. Jesus replied, anyone who drinks this water will soon become thirsty again. He's like, oh, you want to get practical? I'll get practical, but verse 14. But those who drink the water I give will never be thirsty again. It becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life, some of the Spirit. She's still on the practical. Verse 15. Please, sir, the woman said, give me this water, and then I'll never be thirsty again. And watch this, and I won't have to come here to get water. I ain't mad at her. I like easy stuff too. Hook a brother up. We're on our way to Costa Rica. We get there to check in, and what did Jackie say? You got anything in first class? And if they quote a price, we say no, like free. Just upgrade. But see here, she says this, please, sir, give me this water, then I'll never be thirsty again, and I won't have to come here to get water. Now, see, here's the thing. Now, Jesus goes to the root of her problem. Now he's getting to the root. And for most of us, we never get to the root of what our real issue is. He says this, man, watch this. He says, go and get your husband, Jesus told her. 17, I don't have a husband, a woman replied. Jesus said, you're right. You don't have a husband. For you've had five husbands, and you aren't even married to the man you're living with now. You certainly spoke the truth. Now, one, you got to think about it for a second, because Jesus called her on her stuff. Busted, okay? Now, he's getting to the problem, because here now, what we can see from here, here's a lady, and I'm not mad at her at all, but you think about it for a moment. She, bless her, she's already a Samaritan. She's already like lower class. She's already a minority. Hallelujah. And she's seeing her life through her ethnicity. Hashtag black life. Okay, you hear my point. What's the other thing? The Hebrew Israelites? Where's Tim? The Hebrew Israelites. We're the real Hebrews. Yeah. The original Hebrews. Okay. Yeah. You find five scriptures in different parts of the Bible, put them together, come up with a whole theology because of your insecurity. But Jesus said to the Pharisees, how readest thou? Anyway, you got the lady here. She's got racial issues. You know, she's got a racial climate going on. Now, she's insecure because she had one husband. I don't know what happened with the first one, but she ended up with a second one. I don't know what happened with that one, but she ended up with a third one. You got to get baby girl an 8 because she's trying. She's trying. I'm going to get to it, but as she gets to the point where I'm willing to just live with you. And see, here's the thing about her. She's out here at a different time of day getting water. Because see, women go to the wells early in the morning to get the water. She shows up at noontime. Why is she by herself? See, there's some emotional issues right there. There's some social issues right there. She's having some relationship problems. This lady ain't in a good place. She's not. And Jesus needs to get to the root of her problem. She's out there getting water for some man she ain't even married to. Now, she done sunk that low. Now, you giving yourself up, y'all know what I'm talking about. For somebody, it gets to that point. And see, her thing was that, I got a man. Ain't even a good man. He won't even marry me, but I just need a man. As long as somebody laying up next to me, then I'm feeling good. I'm okay. No, you're not. And something she needs to let go of and leave behind. Watch this. Verse 19. Now, sir, the woman said, you must be a prophet. Now, again, she's going to see Jesus based on her experience and what she knows. Oh, he's telling me about myself. That's what prophets do. And so she calls him prophet, just like Peter called him master at first, teacher. And sometimes for a lot of us, Jesus is right where we initially meet him, but that's not the end of it. That's why I need to get you guys to understand. 20, so tell me, why is it that you Jews, now she gets all religious, watch this. So tell me, why is it that you Jews insist that Jerusalem is the only place of worship, while we Samaritans claim it is here at Mount Gerizim, where our ancestors worship? And Jesus replied, believe me, dear woman. He's like, child. Believe me, dear woman, the time is coming when it will no longer matter whether you worship the Father on this mountain or in Jerusalem. You Samaritans know very little about the one you worship, while we Jews know all about him, for salvation comes through the Jews. 23, but the time is coming, okay, here it is. Indeed, it is here now when true worshipers, I mean as false worshipers or worshipers getting it wrong, true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The Father is looking for those who will worship him that way. The Father is looking for those. 24, for God is spirit, so those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. 25, the woman said, wait, so she tries to come back with some religion herself. I know the Messiah is coming, the one who is called Christ. I need to let you know I know something. I know the Messiah is coming, the one who is called Christ. When he comes, he can explain everything to us. Because you just put me in my place and I feel bad. Well, you know what? There's one coming. 26, and Jesus says, I am the Messiah. She missed it right there in front of her. I'm not mad at her because we missed it too. And for many of us, he's still just teacher. Get some nuggets, learn how to live. Learn how this tithing thing is just sowing and reaping, because I can't wait. I remember my other church, guy was like doing this. What's going on? Ooh, I put some money in today. I know it's coming back. I remember when I started this church and I needed some help. And he was in a position to help me with his skill set. I'm gonna leave it at that. But his attitude. And then here we are 10 years later, still struggling. Help us, Jesus. There is a letting go and a leaving behind. There's a letting go and a leaving behind. 27, just then his disciples came back. They were shocked to find him talking to a woman, but none of them had the nerve to ask, what do you want with her, or why are you talking to her? 28, he goes, and this lady's mind from being prophet to Messiah, and watch what happens. The woman left her water jar beside the well. She left it. Now, I love this because she took that water jar to get some water for her man. And once she got the revelation that the Messiah is here, I don't need that sorry joker no more. Amen. And some of you, that's a sorry joker. When y'all gonna leave here today, you need to go home and kick that sorry joker to the curb. Amen. I ain't working for you no more. Whatever you thought you was giving me, I don't need that no more. Jesus gonna supply me with living water. He's gonna supply all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ. That needs to be your attitude. Because here's the thing. Peter didn't understand something. Peter understood, okay, he can heal people, cast out demons, but can he get into my business, my fishing business? Can he help prosper me? Can he help grow me? See, many of you got Jesus compartmentalized. You ain't let him in every part of your life. You got him segmented over here, so I keep him right here. But over here, he can't meet my needs. And that's even like in your relational needs. You keep thinking that you know what you need or what feels good. See, here's the thing. Oh, gotta learn this. Here's the thing that feels good, most of you sisters and brothers. Early on, you made a determination. Stay with me because we got kids here. You understand what I'm saying? That first go round, hallelujah, and you built everything based around that. And Jesus said, you don't even know the half of it. Your eyes have not seen, your ears have not heard that amazing person I want to bring into your life, but you keep dumbing down and settling. You got it all figured out. You going to get a water jar for somebody that ain't worth nothing. He won't even marry you, and he got you out here getting water for him. What's up with you, woman? You need to let go and leave behind. She left that water jar. And I loved it because she went back. I ain't going to need him no more. I done met the Messiah. I have met the one that God is going to send. I met the one that the ancestors have talked about. He sat there and talked to me. He loved me even though I was a Samaritan. He loved me even though I was a woman. He loved me even though I've been out here tramping and whoring. He loved me anyway. And for many of you, you got to let go and leave that behind. Drop your water jar. Peter left his boat in his nest. What do you need to let go of? Trust God. Yes. Pastor Tony, how are you going to go to Costa Rica and your son in the hospital? I'm going to trust God or I'm not. Yes. Now, here's the funny thing. We've been sitting there praying, Lord, let him leave. Lord, release him. Lord, release him. We laying hands. We believe. We're confessing and all that. It wasn't until we got to Costa Rica that he got released. Yes. Had that conversation with my mother. My mother, grandmothers don't play that. Brian's 31 years old, but that's still her baby. Right. Tony, you going where? Now, see, I'm baby until she's mad at me. Tony, you going where? Mama, I'm going to be obedient. You know the man you introduced me to, Jesus? I'm going to be obedient. All right, you and Jackie be okay then, all right? Yeah, we good. But this is who you told me about. You told me to read these chapters. You told me about this. You made me go to vacation Bible school. You made me go to that 6 o'clock with BTU, Baptist Training Union. You made me do that. You made me sing in a youth choir. You made me get up there and say that Christmas speech. You did this. And now you got a hold of my heart. It's bigger than just sitting here being a dad. I get to do what I get down there doing what I'm supposed to do. And all of a sudden, Ebony sends a text. Bam. Boy, happier than a runaway slave. Did you see him? There's a letting go and a leaving behind. You got to change your thinking. You know, it's like Pastor Tony, you know, if it, and I love churches. I love, y'all know I pray for everybody's church. I work with churches. You have no idea. We didn't even have our own building. We've given thousands of other churches to help them get their building, okay? I love churches. But see, some of the things that God has had you leave there to come here, and you still got that old thinking. It's time to shift. It's time to shift. It's a new day. It's a new day. Please, God has something great for you. It's time for you to go deeper. It's time for you to trust. So get rid of your fishing boat and your nets, and especially sisters with your water pots. Leave that water pot alone. Leave that water pot on. Leave it there. Leave it there. Leave it there. Bow your heads, please, in Jesus' name. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Father God.